again. I'm John Feinstein.
You know when you gotta be somewhere, it's like really urgent? You don't wanna do it over the phone. Some things just can't be said with an LOL or an OMG. Some things just need to be done IRL. So you're getting your Nissan Altima and drive. Feel the VC turbo engine instantly react to give you more power and efficiency so you can get where you need to go.
Hey, Eric, what are you doing here?
Like.
Huh?
Your social post. I liked it.
Oh, thank you. You know, there's a button for that, right?
I do.
The Nissan Altima, now offering the most tech-advanced engine in its class. This is tech that helps you be there. This is Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Auto Pacific Segmentation, 2020 Altima Platinum versus latest in-market competitors in the premium midsize class. Available feature. World's first production variable compression turbo engine launched by Nissan Motor Company Limited in 2018.
Take us to work. Head to theticketmiami.com and click on the Listen Live button.
Yo, check this out.
To shake your office up.
We'll get some Dolphins and NFL in about 20 minutes from now. We'll talk to Will Brinson from CBS Sports. But Jimmy Butler yesterday was on Vince Carter's Winging It podcast. Winging It. I just imagine, at some point during the home and home with Atlanta last week, and, someone's on the free throw line, and Vince just creeps up right next to Jimmy Butler and says, yo, dog, come on podcast next week? And so, he's on his podcast. We'll get some Dolphins and NFL in about 20 minutes from now. We'll talk. Whoa, what just happened there? How'd that happen? That's what I just said. Who was that? How did that even happen? So
that was amazing.
That was so weird. How did that happen? All right. Jimmy Butler, though, on this podcast yesterday with Vince Carter, he spoke about Lance Stephenson. Now, Lance Stephenson, right? He plays for...
I'm familiar. He likes to blow in people's ears and untie people's shoes.
Who's Lance Stephenson with right now?
China.
No one. Yeah, he's in China.
Okay, because I was going to say, he's not with the Lakers anymore.
No,
right?
he's in China.
Yeah, I guess LeBron was done with that experience.
Yep.
And, okay, fine. So here's Jimmy Butler. Give this a listen here, okay? Here is Jimmy Butler, who just happens to reference Lance Stephenson.
I started to think, and I was watching guys play, and I was like, look, I know I'm not that good of a basketball player, but I know I can make it if this guy can make it. You know what I'm saying?
You want to give us any examples?
To tell you the truth, I always saw Lance Stephenson, and I was just always like, yo, look, man, you went to Cincinnati, born ready, whatever you want to call yourself. But I never really got a liking for it. We always get into it, always get texts, but I saw him and I was like, nah, man, he in the league, I can be in the league. Like, if he's in the league, I can be in the league. He is a talented ass player, don't get me wrong, right. But I was like, nah, if he can do it, I can do it.
Don't get me wrong. No.
That's dirty.
Yeah, listen, everything Jimmy Butler is saying is true because it's coming from his perspective. He's not saying anything not true. It's his perspective, okay? But it's absolutely an insult to what he is saying there about
yep.
Lance Stephenson. And I'll also tell you that I think everything he is saying is true from the perspective of if Lance Stephenson, okay?
Funny guy to go after, too.
Right, it's such a weird guy to go after. But look, it's from Jimmy's perspective. If Jimmy's watching games, he's like, yo, Lance Stephenson's out there balling. That guy's doing that. I could definitely do that. And so Lance Stephenson obviously did not take very kindly, okay? He tweets out, I don't know how to take that comment by Jimmy Butler. That boy look up to me. Don't downgrade talent. I motivate you to work hard and get in that gym. You love my game. Don't be scared to say it. So, yeah, Lance Stephenson took it the way that he should have taken it, which is that's not very complimentary. I mean, Jimmy Butler is essentially saying, that guy right there could have a good career. I mean, I'm going to be a superstar. That's essentially what he is saying. So.
You love my game.
You love my game.
There's some underlining, tension there when he says you love my game.
Is there? Yeah. Well, I don't know. What is that?
Yeah. When he says you love my game, it's basically saying you copied my, you followed me. You know who I am. So don't try to downgrade me. Don't try to downplay my skills. You love my game. That's what it means. Basically, it's like, yeah, you know who I am. You probably took a lot of my style. You use a lot of my game.
Yeah, but that's not what Jimmy's saying, though.
Jimmy's saying like you're not as good as I am. Saying,
yeah. It's such a Lance Stevenson response where he says, "You look up to me. You love my game." Yeah. Like Lance Stevenson.
Take it from the kid from Brooklyn. Yeah, I know when he says you love my game is basically you love my style. You know who I am.
I feel like he's been in the league the same
amount
of years.
Lance, he's younger than Jimmy Butler, Lance Stevenson. Lance Stevenson, and that's what it's a funny thing. You look up to me, you love my game. And Lance Stevenson, I mean, that's a guy who thinks he's Michael Jordan.
I think Stevenson got to the NBA a year before Jimmy did.
I think he's younger than Jimmy Butler.
That may be true, but Lance Stevenson got to the league in 2010. I think Jimmy was 2011.
But remember, Lance played 1 year in college. Jimmy had to play at least three.
Yeah. No, so, I understand. Yeah, Lance Stevenson got to the league in 10, and Jimmy Butler started in 11. So, yeah.
Lance Stevenson's 29, Jimmy Butler's 30.
Yeah, so Jimmy's essentially saying that he's watching. You know, Jimmy's at Marquette, and he's like, yo, that guy right there. I mean, I could be that guy. Yep.
You love my game.
And Lance is saying, you look up to me.
You love my game.
I like it.
It's very insulting. I mean, I obviously agree with Jimmy, but I'm not a fan of Lance Stevenson. Although, by all accounts, like, everything I've ever seen from Lance Stevenson is he's a super nice dude. Okay? Super nice dude.
Except for he likes to blow in ears and untie people's
shoes.
But,
man, just a nuisance on the floor.
He really is. Jimmy Butler, he's very talkative. He says what he means, and he means what he says. That dude's not afraid to talk. He also told Yahoo Sports Chris Haynes he talked about his drama in Philly. And he said that his departure was inevitable at the end of the season. He said, stuff just don't work out. Nobody knows what really went on in Philly, and we're going to leave it that way. But it was a great opportunity for me. But then he goes on to say, just go with your gut. You're not dumb. All of that will come out whenever it's time. Right now, it's not time. I'm locked in with this. I'm happy, man. I'm smiling, and my guys want me here. My organization wants me here. I want to be here, and we're going to ride this thing until the wheels fall off. I'm not saying Philly wasn't great, man. We had some really good players. I talked to Joel damn near every bleeping day. It's a brotherhood, man. I love that guy. I'm going to always have his back, and I know he'll always have mine.
Let's get to the rest of our headlines here. Come on.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
He hated Ben Simmons.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that means one of two things. either Ben Simmons is not his dog, or he didn't like Brett Brown. Like, those are the only two things.
He didn't like Ben Simmons.
Ben
Simmons is not his kind of guy. And from what we hear, mate, I don't know, is Ben Simmons not working on that jump shot enough?
I'm tempted
How
to
hard
lean
of a worker
toward
is
it.
Ben Simmons?
I'm tempted to lean toward it being a Ben Simmons thing.
Yep.
You know, because maybe it's one of those deals where, look, man, you got all the talent in the world. How are you not working harder on being able to make a jump shot?
Yep. And Ben Simmons is that dude who has all the talent in the world.
You know, so I'm tempted.
And still has parts of his game to work on.
Because I think Brett Brown's a good coach. I'm tempted to believe that Ben Simmons is just not his kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's total speculation on my part.
Monday Night Football happened last night, and what matters there is this excellent, excellent radio call. Maybe the best radio call I've ever heard, because there was a black cat
better than you believe in miracles?
I think it might be. I think this may be it. Because a black cat ran on the field last night during the game, and Kevin Harlan was on the call for Westwood One, and
yeah,
he
Westfield
is
View.
The best.
A black cat has taken the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way, and so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch and run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped playing. The players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field. The black cat is at the other end of the field. He's
black
at the
cat
eight.
Doesn't know that it was last Thursday that was Halloween. Thursday
night right,
football,
yeah,
not Monday night football.
No,
he's
shut
a little
up,
bit
Boomer.
Late. Now he is sitting
ruining it.
And looking. Now he's at the five. He's
Who brought
walking.
The cat?
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands. And the fans are running for their life. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back of the end zone. And it runs up the tunnel.
There it is. Cat was done. It's such a good job.
It's so good.
It's and it's not the first time that Harlan's done it, of course. It was 2 or 3 years ago. You know, dude is running on the field, running around. Like, this here was the originator, if you will.
Four looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the blue
from the
coats.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call on your part.
Really great job. That's the
he's the best.
He really is as good as it gets. He is excellent. Good job out of Kevin Harlan.
The Miami Heat begin a 3-game road trip tonight against the Denver Nuggets. Tip off from Pepsi Center set for 9 p.m. That means coverage begins right here on 790 The Ticket at 8 p.m. with the JetBlue Vacations pregame show hosted by Jonathan Zaslow.
I got you, fam.
Bad news for the Nuggets. Miami is a 5-point underdog tonight.
All right.
The Miami Hurricanes, they open up their basketball season tonight versus number 5 Louisville. Tip off from Watsco Center is set for 6:30 p.m. Coach Larrañaga, he got himself a little orca, Zaslow. 5-star recruit Earl Timberlake announced that he is coming to the University of Miami.
I know. You got to make sure. Look, just keep doing your thing, Coach L. All right. It's a basketball school now, University of Miami. Coach L's best coach there. And just don't let them catch you with that duffel bag full of them hundreds, all right? Because you're getting the 5-star recruits from D.C., you know, come on.
It's a little strange. What are you implying there, Zaslow?
I'm saying
I think you're implying some things.
I'm saying Kane's doing the thing is what I'm saying.
Stop snitching.
WTXL in Tallahassee is reporting that FSU is nearing a deal with Bob Stoops to become the next head football coach of Florida State
University. Now, does that make FSU happy? Like, FSU fans, they like hearing that?
Goodness, I hope so. Okay. I don't know. These FSU fans, I don't know, running Jimbo out of town. Then they got into Willie, and then they turned on Willie real quick, which I don't blame you, but you did. So does Bob Stoops make you happy? I don't know. Some people are likening the Bob Stoops hire to a Mark Richt type hire.
I the more and more I think about the Willie Taggart situation, I mean, look, a year and a half is obviously not a lot of time. But if within that year and a half, and I'm not there, so I don't know. But if within that year and a half, you realize, wow, this is not what we thought, and this isn't going to work. Do you still have to give the coach the time to turn around? Like, if you think that you know that this was, we made a mistake.
I think you can criticize sometimes not giving the coach time in college in particular because, again, Willie Taggart didn't have an opportunity to bring in his own guys. You
but
could
what if
argue
in that
he
year
didn't
and
have enough time
so much worse
with enough recruiting
you know
classes.
It's not going to work.
I think what happened, well, okay, listen, a college football coach, it's going to take a few years to turn around a program. So if you believe that Jimbo Fisher left that program in shambles, then you need to give a college football coach coming in and taking over for him 3 years to turn the program around. That's sort of the logic that prevails in college football is that 3-year timeline. Even Ron Zook got 3 years at the University of Florida. However,
but what if you know within those 3 years it's a bad idea? Why
right,
do you have to
keep
wasting
time? Would it have been bad if UF had gotten rid of the Zucker after a season and a half? Probably not, because he wasn't the guy anyways after 3, so we just wasted a lot of time there. If you are convinced he's not the guy, now, you did hire him, and we discussed this at length yesterday, so I won't get into it too much, but you did hire him largely based on his resume at USF. His resume at USF looked like, you know, terrible season, good season, great season. So if you hired Willie Taggart because of that trajectory, then to fire him a season and a half into it, you're not giving him enough time to do what he did at USF to turn things around. However, I think that there was other issues beyond just him bringing in his guys and showing what he can do on the field. I think it just became such a clown show. And we talked about this earlier when it comes to the Browns or when it comes to the Jets, where things just become so toxic at a certain point. I think that's what's going to happen to Adam Gase, where it just clearly isn't a good fit, where you just need a new regime. It's not necessarily even about the product on the field. It's about everything that surrounds it. And when things go so terribly and things are blowing up, then every little thing, it becomes a big story. Every little thing. We talked about it with Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry's cleats for the Browns. You know, every little story becomes this big deal and a reflection on the team when things are burning because it's a dumpster fire. And that was what was happening at FSU with Willie Taggart. They were fighting. You have Kirk Herbstreit. All these guys know how to do is fight. They should be in the UFC. They shouldn't be playing college football. It's that sort of prevailing attitude that I think got Willie Taggart fired as much as the product on the field.
I don't think it's that crazy that they fired him.
Also, they have Bob Stoops. They're zeroed in on him that fast. Do you think they knew he was interested in the job already? Like, you think they're having those low-key conversations?
Yes.
I'm imagining so. That's how it works in that world. Yes. So I think that also has everything to do with firing Willie Taggart now. And in that sport, when you're talking about college sports, you're talking about saving recruiting is what you're trying to do. So you're trying to slide Bob Stoops in there so fast that you're saving the recruits that have already committed to you, and you're giving yourself enough time for him to be able to go out and recruit guys for next season. A little different than the pros. Like, what's the point of firing Adam Gase midseason? What's really the point?
No,
you're not saving recruits. It's not a recruiting game. But in college sports, it actually theoretically could matter.
What else you got?
Jorge Masvidal. I meant to ask you this during Big Deal, Not a Big Deal. Jorge Masvidal told Ariel Helwani that he is dead serious about wanting to fight Canelo Alvarez.
Of course he is. You get so much money. Look at me. Look, I'm dead serious about wanting to fight Canelo Alvarez.
So you don't see it happening?
Yeah, I want
we
also
see these cross sports, though. Could happen.
Like, I want the money. Like, of course he wants to fight Canelo Alvarez. So do I.
The Miami Herald is reporting that the Miami Dolphins will be part of the NFL International Series next season. We know they'll be the home team. It's unclear whether they'll play in London or Mexico City.
Giving up a home game. All right. That's how it goes.
Miami redshirt freshman D-end Greg Russo, he was named ACC Defensive Lineman of the Week because sacks.
All that sacks. Oh, sacks would be amazing.
All that dude does is sack. Listen, the sacks may lead to a lot of sex.
Yeah, because sex.
For all I know, his sacks led to a lot of sex.
Will Brinson from CBS Sports will talk some NFL with him, Zazzle and Amber, next. Got the Canes taking on number 5 Louisville tonight at Watsco Center. Just sneaking right up on us, Canes basketball. Just getting it going right away. Let's take on number 5 Louisville. And this weekend, of course, you got Canes football in Louisville. So it's a big battle this week.
I should mention that texters are pointing out
what
Kirk Herbstreit, he's reporting.
He got Willie Taggart fired. He got him fired.
He said, I just talked to Bob Stoops. Any report that he's a candidate for the FSU job are not accurate. He said, quote unquote, he's not a candidate.
He's not willing to leave the Renegades.
That buyout's too big.
Yep.
Vince McMahon owns you.
Vince, no, I will not let you go. Damn it.
Also, I don't believe any coach when he says that he's not a candidate for a college football coaching position.
All right. Let's get back to some NFL here. Of course, the Dolphins. Oh, talk of the town, Dolphins. They won their first game. All right, beat the Jets. Let's talk to Will Brinson from CBS Sports, NFL writer. He joins us here on the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Hey, Will, how you doing? Good afternoon.
What's up, guys? How you doing? Hope you're having a lovely day down there in South Florida.
Well, it's not every week, Will. You get to celebrate when your professional football team wins, you know? So we are very excited down here. First off, did you think that there was any chance yesterday that Adam Gase was going to be fired after losing to the Dolphins?
I thought it was a reasonable chance. I mean, maybe like 10 to 15% or something like that. I mean, part of the problem is, you know, you have an ownership group that is being fronted by Christopher Johnson, who replaced Woody Johnson when he left to go be an ambassador for the president of the United States. And, you know, they hired Adam Gase, who then made a power play to get Mike McCagnan fired, and then installed his good buddy Joe Douglas as the GM. So my guess is that they'll, as dysfunctional as the Jets are and as bad as Gase looks through all this, that they will at least let him have till the end of the season and then do some sort of wholesale evaluation. And I think it really depends on, like, what is, you know, where does Joe Douglas fall in all this? Is he given the opportunity to try and save Adam Gase's job? Is he given the opportunity to axe Adam Gase? Like, I think it's dysfunctional. This is not how you want to do it. You want to have a GM and a coach aligned and ownership aligned and everybody moving in the same direction. And the Jets are basically playing tug of war and do not appear to be heading anywhere near the right direction. And making matters worse, their cap situation is horrendous moving forward over the next couple of years. And they're basically burning through Sam Darnold's rookie contract. So they got that going for them.
Now, conversely, on the other sidelines, Brian Flores, okay, picks up his first win as coach of the Dolphins. Are you, and look, I don't know that you're watching the Dolphins every single week or what, okay? And if you are, I mean, God bless. But is it possible to evaluate Brian Flores so far this season? Because what we're seeing so far is we're seeing, A, not only a team that plays hard every single week, which I think is a good sign for a coach on a very bad team, but also it is a team that is getting better on a week-to-week basis. I mean, they have played, what are we talking, three or four close games in a row now. I think they've actually covered the spread for three or four consecutive weeks. So,
and the roster keeps getting thinner every game.
So are you able to evaluate Brian Flores at all so far this season, Will?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. I think, look, even the last 2 weeks, right? I mean, you had the primetime game against the Steelers, and then, you know, they were leading at halftime. They were leading in the second quarter up 14-0, and you have the Jets game where they just beat the Jets. I mean, they beat the pants off the Jets. They should have won by double digits. And I think those two efforts on the heels of a winless season and everybody, you know, getting into their, you know, isn't this the worst team in NFL history chatter and stories. I think that shows a lot about the character of, you know, what he's trying, or at least the character he's trying to instill in his players and the way he's trying to approach this season and this job. I mean, I'm not saying a lot. Like, look, the Jets are not having an as the Dolphins, if not worse, when you factor in the 7.5 win expectations they had this season and all that.
Yeah.
And Adam Gase is like pouting and, you know, doing all this stuff, whereas, you know, you got Flores who's trying hard.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you with a straight face every single day, Will, the Jets and the Browns are far more embarrassing this year than the Dolphins.
The Bengals are way worse than the Dolphins. Way worse than the Dolphins.
Yeah, them too. Yeah. I mean, and even just like a team like the Browns, I mean, look, we're 9 weeks into the NFL season. The Cleveland Browns have a win more than the Dolphins. That's it. They've won one more game than the Miami Dolphins at this point.
Yeah, and they invested a number one overall pick in Myles Garrett, a number one overall pick in Baker Mayfield. They traded a first-round pick for Odell Beckham. They re-signed Jarvis Landry to a big deal. You know, they went out and signed a bunch of free agents. I mean, this is a team that's supposed to be awesome. Like, they had the sixth or seventh best Super Bowl odds, or lowest Super Bowl odds, and they have two wins. And they're, you know, they got their wide receivers are on the sidelines wearing, you know, Joker cleats. You know, even though it violates NFL uniform policy, Freddie Kitchens is being basically told, "Don't challenge this. You know, don't look, man, don't challenge this, Freddie. You need this, but don't challenge it. Trust me." And he throws the challenge flag anyway. I mean, it's a huge mess. I think, look, the Dolphins are not a good football team, but they're a frisky, stripped down team that is trying to build the right way, so to speak. I mean, you know, they traded some assets. I mean, Nick, the idea, I thought it was absurd. We just went so far in one direction, right? Like, you know, there was the Brian Flores blitzed on third down. This guy's tanking on purpose. It's like, don't be ridiculous.
Right.
He's trying to get a turnover on Mason Rudolph, who's not a good quarterback. It's just a team that's thin, that's full of young guys, that's, you know, they're trying hard, but they're not executing very well. We saw that on that first Jameson Crowder touchdown. I mean, it was a total busted coverage, and Sam Darnold had an easy throw. And I mean, I know Jets writers and Jets fans are like, well, the route is on. It's Adam Gase's time. I mean, yeah, the Jets, Bengals, Browns, and I mean, even the Steelers are far more disappointing teams.
We got Will Brinson joining us here, of course, senior NFL writer, CBS Sports. The Patriots, in your opinion, are the Patriots closer to a dominant 8-1 team or closer to a team that has taken advantage of playing a very, very weak schedule?
It definitely lies somewhere in between, right? I mean, look, I would tell you that the Ravens at home on Sunday night, with their mix of Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, their running game, their aggressive defense, the enthusiasm in that crowd with Ed Reed getting his Hall of Fame ring and out there with a shield and wearing a Canes jacket and probably smoking cigars the entire time for all we know. I mean, like, all of that was a really bad situational spot for the Patriots. It was going to be. I picked the Ravens to win before the week began. I thought it was a great spot for them. They pulled it off. They executed well. New England is still a really good team. But, I mean, like any really good team in 2019, or any football team in 2019, they have weaknesses. You can run on them. And if you run on them early and you soften up their front and you don't get down, like, they've taken advantage of making teams one-dimensional by forcing them to pass the ball. And they stop the run for the Dolphins, the Jets, the Bills, et cetera. And you do that, and you can really make teams one-dimensional, and you can be opportunistic with your secondary. Conversely, like, their offense isn't great right now. They're still figuring it out. So I don't get too worried about the Patriots. I think Bill Belichick believes that the season exists in four quarters. We're only two quarters in. I think he'll continue to mold that team. But he has a secondary that he knows is where he wants it to be. If he can get the pass rush and the offense going, which is a lot easier to do, they can certainly still make a Super Bowl run.
Now, Will, we're really interested here from a Dolphins perspective and a possible top pick perspective. We're interested this weekend with LSU and Alabama, okay? Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa. Do you have what is your interest level there in that game? And from a perspective of, these are both going to be two very high pick quarterbacks in the coming draft.
Oh, I mean, well, it's on the NFL, it's on the SEC on CBS. I can't wait to watch it on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. And if you cut cable or whatever, I'm pretty sure you can go to CBSSports.com and there's a free streaming option there. Like, you can watch it for free without a cable provider on CBSSports.com. If that's something you're interested in as a Dolphins fan, it's like the SEC Live or SEC Now or something like that. I think when Burrow burst onto the scene, right? I mean, this is a guy with a big, strong arm, has all the tools and traits of a professional quarterback. I would be highly interested in him as a potential number one overall pick. I don't think you have to be around for a lot of years to necessarily be a guy that you can buy into. Tua, I think, is great too. A couple of questions. Durability, I think, is a little bit of an issue.
Yep.
And then I think it kind of flies under the radar. Like, is a team prepared for a left-handed quarterback? And that sounds weird, but like, everything about how you block, everything about how your receivers catch, et cetera, is different with a left-handed quarterback. So I just think that's something small that needs to factor in there. You just don't see a lot of successful left-handed quarterbacks. I do wonder too, like, and this probably applies to Joe Burrow as well, but I mean, Tua's throwing to freaking, like, all Americans at every level. He's coached by Nick Saban. He's got a great defense and has a great offensive line. So, I mean, you are surrounded by a ton of talent. Still think he's a very good player. I haven't done a full deep dive draft on him, so I don't know where I would go in terms of if I had to pick first overall. I would probably lean Burrow right now. I will say I think there's going to be a ton of points in this game, like 70-plus points, thrilling SEC game, again, on CBS.
Will, plug the podcast on your way out here. Go ahead.
Yeah, Pick Six Podcast. It's a daily NFL podcast on CBS Sports. You can search Apple Podcasts for it. We actually have 8 episodes per week. Brady Quinn and I will do a show tonight that drops tomorrow. We have a Monday Night Football recap where we break down everything about that freaking cat that ran across. That's a lot of football with a dash of mirth.
Great job, Will. We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, guys. Have a great day.
All right. That's Will Brinson right there against CBS Sports. It's funny that he brings up the left-handed quarterback issue, because you remember a couple months ago when we were talking to Ian Rappaport, and we were talking specifically because he was all over the Laremy Tunsil trade to Houston, and he thought I was crazy. Like, it was the first time he ever heard the idea that
they traded away Laremy Tunsil because it's a different blind side
because they're
going
to have
left-handed
quarterback. Yeah, because they don't want to pay a left tackle and a right tackle.
Right.
And he thought I was crazy. I don't think it's that crazy.
It's not crazy.
Now, is it crazy that the Dolphins are trading away that player a year in advance as if it's a sure thing that they're going to get Tua, yeah, that's a little bit crazy. That's a little bit crazy. But the idea that they don't want to have to pay, you know, blindside tackle money to a left tackle and a right tackle, I don't think is crazy.
Do you think that there's anything to the fact that Tua isn't actually left-handed? Does that make any sort of difference when you're evaluating a left-handed quarterback? It doesn't from a blindside perspective. But I've wondered with Tua, he's not left-handed.
What does that
mean? He just throws left-handed. He's not left-handed. He's right-handed.
What does that mean?
He was born right-handed. His dad taught him how to throw left-handed.
No, I understand. But what do I care about that then?
Well, because he was saying, are you prepared as a team to have a left-handed quarterback? And I wonder, because really he's more like an ambidextrous type of player, right? Where he's throwing left-handed because he's choosing to, not because he has to.
So can he throw
right-handed? Wonder, I would assume so. I would assume he could throw both, right? If you're right-handed, if you're right-handed and you're right-handed, you could probably do both. And I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody discuss that. And maybe he can't. Maybe he can only throw left-handed, even though he's right-handed. I haven't heard anybody talk about that. And I've always wondered, like, is that a weapon in there that no one, that Alabama hasn't tapped into?
So you think it's possible that sometimes he could drop back to throw lefty, and sometimes he could drop back to throw righty?
I wonder, because if you're a right-handed person that's been taught to throw left-handed, then theoretically you should be able to throw right-handed as well, correct?
I have no idea.
Probably not as well, because you're throwing left-handed typically, but I do wonder if you have that in your arsenal somewhere.
So you think it's possible that it's like batting righty and lefty, that you're like a switch hitter?
Exactly. Can we have a switch thrower?
I mean, I've spent no time thinking about
that. I've never heard anybody say it.
I got to go no sale on that one.
Just because you haven't heard anybody say it? Or maybe I'm brilliant.
I mean, it's not the...
Is that a possibility?
It's not the worst theory I've ever heard. Like, it might be the second worst theory, but it's not the worst thing I've ever heard.
Well, thank you.
Switch thrower?
A switch thrower.
I might give you props for that, Amber.
Thank you, Vlad.
So yeah, I'm interested in LSU Alabama this weekend. I'm into it.
I'm into it too.
Tagovailoa. I'm more interested in from the Burrow perspective.
Well, because with Tua, you don't know what you're going to get because he's been injured. So I don't know if it's a fair evaluation of Tua, frankly.
No, but even if he weren't injured, I've watched Tagovailoa a lot more. Like, I'm more interested in seeing Joe Burrow, watching the whole game and sitting there and watching him, because he's the hot thing right now. But I do think that's a very real concern about Tagovailoa's durability.
I think, you know, so as well.
He's getting hit by college kids, and he keeps getting hurt. Well, you got men who are chasing you, trying to kill you out there, okay, for a living.
Men.
That's what, well, it is. It's men out there. So I do think that's a legit concern. But
I mean, there's some big boys in college too. But yes, I understand what you're saying. You've had surgery on both your ankles now,
and
you've only been in college a few years.
Yeah. So, thanks to Will Brinson for joining us there. And speaking of which, a little NFL with him. Do you want to hear? We played earlier in the show. We had Mike Francesa, sports pope out there, WFAN New York.
Tooting on air.
And it's a fart, okay?
It's a toot.
And should we just play that again? You know what? Let's just play that again, because it was a few hours ago. People don't know what we're talking about. Vlad, get that cut ready, okay? And you got to listen. It's about 10 seconds in. So you got to listen close to it. He pauses at one point, and then it's a...
He does it while
like
he's
that.
Speaking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, if you're watching the video,
I think we all know
it,
what a toot sounds like, by the way. You didn't really need to give us the
example.
No, but
some of them are different. Some is like...
No,
like,
see,
some of
this
sound
one
different.
That you're about to hear sounds like a fake toot, because it sounds like such a perfect toot. Like,
it
it's
does
got
not
the squeak.
Sound fake.
It's got the squeak.
It sounds very real.
Amber, say the word fart.
Toot!
You know what? I don't even like it that you say toot.
I don't like toot.
Yeah,
toot sounds like a nickname for blow.
It makes me uncomfortable that you say that's Vlad that you're hearing from. He's running the board today. So here's Mike Francesa from yesterday, or maybe it was from 2 days ago, considering he then reacted to the Daily News writing a story about it. Man, I wish like the Miami Herald would write a story about me farting on air. Here's Mike Francesa. Give it a listen.
I understand how much work they put into this, especially NFL head coaches. But when you cannot function,
sounds fake.
Not functioning as a franchise.
I'll tell you, the internet, okay, social media, this age has not been kind to Mike Francesa. I mean, he is a legendary sports talk show host. And, I mean, every day it's something new. Now, you know, part of it could be that, you know, his effort is certainly not what it used to be. He's constantly getting things wrong. All right. But, man.
And also his style of radio.
Yeah.
It's archaic.
Social media and the internet have not been kind to him. But anyway, that's one way to do sports radio. Farting on air. Okay.
Tooting.
There's another way to do sports radio.
If you
radio.
Wanted to, you could give it a toot on air. I just don't think the Miami Herald's going to write about it.
Oh, I wish they would. I'd be so proud.
You could try to get Barry to buzz around.
Oh, he doesn't care. He's never been fair to us anyway. There's another way to do sports radio as well. Okay, so this is out in Cleveland. This is how Middle Earth does sports radio, okay? This is a sports talk show host called Ken Carman, okay? And this is from 92.3 The Fan. And this is what happens when your football team sucks.
Because I said what I said, and it's my freaking fault for having any faith whatsoever in you. I should never, ever do it again. I should never have faith ever again. I should line up and be like the predecessors before me and be nasty and mean-spirited and angry over the entire thing every single time we watch out one of these quarterbacks that will hopefully sink us from the hell that we have created for ourselves throughout this entire time and have us have this happen yet again. More saviors, more messiahs, the same damn actions, the same thing. The emperor no longer has clothes, and I am a shell of myself. Today's the day where things change. So after this screaming and after this yelling, I'm sorry, because it's 6:20 in the morning, I'm gonna lay here and I'm 6:20. Gonna take it. If you got something to yell at the Browns, you yell at them. You got something to yell at Baker Mayfield or John or Freddie Kitchens, you go ahead and let it off your chest. If you got something to say to me, you go ahead and say it. Because I made a guarantee that I'm personally responsible for. I have let myself down. I have let you down. I have let everybody down. So for the next 3 hours and 40 minutes, you got something to say to me, you go right on ahead. You will not get anything back from me. I got it coming to me because I'm a damn fool for having any faith whatsoever in this train wreck. Goodbye.
That was intense.
Well, take it easy, man. I mean,
that's a morning show. That's what you get.
Well, that
at
was the best
the
part.
Was
when I said 6:20 a.m. That was the best
Woo.
Part. But I mean, it's that big of a deal to say your team's gonna beat the Broncos and they lose. Like that's what happens when you say that your team's gonna beat another terrible team and then they don't win. Like you freak out like that. It's that big of a deal. Why is it such a big deal? I mean, take it easy, man. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for hearing that. My God, what's the most mad? You've never been mad like that about sports on this show.
No,
I definitely have.
Definitely not.
I definitely have.
I feel like I have perspective in life. I don't feel like I could get that worked up about sports.
I've definitely been that mad.
I've only been that mad at you. Only time I've gotten that worked up on this show. It's true.
I don't know how to take that.
Jeez, man. That's messed up.
Take it easy, man. Oh, can I tell you something? You know what is something I was aggravated about? No, I'm not really mad, but it is something I was aggravated about. I'm listening on the way in this morning, okay? And I hear this promo run. And it's to join Beast. At some bar. I don't remember where it was.
Because, of course.
It's to join Beast at some bar this Sunday for a Dolphins watch party.
Mm.
Dolphins Colts.
One of those appearances that gets offered to all of us, right? Not an appearance that comes down the pipeline and the assistant programming director just steals it for himself without any of us getting the opportunity.
That's exactly the way it goes down, okay? And I just don't understand because he's not a Dolphins fan.
Of course not. He's a Patriots fan.
We're a Miami sports radio station, okay, doing a watch party for one of our Miami sports teams. How about we do it with a host who is a Dolphin fan? Like, I don't understand. Why would people go to a watch party for a Miami team with someone who loves Boston sports teams? Like, why? I just don't understand. Like, am I wrong for thinking that?
No.
Like, why wasn't that given to you? And I'm not campaigning for me to get it. I don't want it. I don't want it. Okay? Why wasn't that given to you?
I don't know the answer to that question, Zaslow.
It's not about me. It's not. I swear to you, it's not about me. Okay? But
unless it's in Cooper City, then maybe you'd go to it.
Look, if someone were to ask me, I'm happy to do it. But it's absolutely not about me. All right? But why? Like, why not you? You're a Dolphin fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like people, if they want to go to a watch party with, you know, Talent X, they would want that person to be cheering for the same team as them, right?
I agree.
That's all I'm saying. I just think it's weird.
Mm. It's almost like he gets first dibs because he's the assistant programming director, or
like
assistant two.
It's assistant two.
The programming director.
The program director.
And so he steals the watch parties for himself.
Like
and then
like
he gives us the ones that he doesn't want.
It should be you is what I'm saying. It should be you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's okay, though. I probably have some boat to be on this weekend.
Like, I just think people would you're like, oh, wow, Amber's going to Dolphins watch party. I'd like to come see Amber and come watch a game with her.
Beast did say to me that he would feel very special in life if I invited him on the boat because I've been spending my weekends boating. And so I pulled the move where I gave him the invite during a time where I know he can't come.
That's the move. Yeah, that's a good move.
And so I pulled that move yesterday.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good
I
move.
Said, well, Beast, do you want to come? And of course, it's during the Canes game.
That's a good move.
On Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good move. Or you just not invite him. Like, whatever. What's going to
happen? Well, he pressured me. It was in the moment. He caught me in the hall, pressured me.
I'm just saying, I feel like if people heard that you were going to do a watch party, they would be like, oh, cool. I'd like to go see Amber. I'll go hang on with Amber. That'd be fun. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe he'll get a bunch of Patriots fans there.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
Boston.
That's what we're looking for. That makes sense to me. I don't know.
Bunch of Sully and Murphs hanging out with Beast.
I was annoyed for you. That's all.
Also, the establishment. Wouldn't they rather have me there?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Beast pulls the move where he brings his whole family.
Yeah.
And then he expects everything for free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, last watch party I did, I didn't even eat.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even order a drink.
Yeah.
I was in and out. Mm-hmm. Had a little water.
Classing that joint up a
little
bit.
Was on my way.
Yep. Yeah, I just don't know. I felt like you were being left out. Should have been you. Yeah.
Text story saying, you're right about Beast, but we are a Miami sports radio station with two Gator hosts.
What does that mean?
People very upset that 790 has me and Channing on this station.
I went to University of Florida, too.
Oh, that's true. Three Gators hosts.
Yeah.
Maybe they were talking about you and not Channing. I don't know.
I mean, University of Miami is a private school.
But you're a Canes fan. You at least consider yourself a Canes fan.
But it's not the same thing because University of Miami is a private school. Okay, not everyone can afford to go to a private school.
Also, I went there.
Right. But you know, from my standpoint, because I grew up here, like not everyone can afford to go to a private school.
Mm.
It's not the same thing. Anyway, but I am a huge Hurricane. I like Hurricanes football, of course. All right. That's going to do it for today. I said my piece. There you go. All right. Hey, tonight, 8 o'clock, I'm back right here. 8 o'clock, back in the power chair. JetBlue Vacations, Miami Heat pregame show. Heat and Nugs tonight at 9 o'clock.
Is Vlad, are you back with us tomorrow? Do we know? It's like every day around here. It's a party. Yeah. We get to find out who the producer's going to be.
I think you get Jennifer tomorrow.
Mm. Okay. Whoever can work.
I don't know about Thursday.
All right.
But we'll see. Tune in and find out who's producing our show.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See ya.